Srila Rupa Goswami, after consulting various scriptures, has enumerated the transcendental qualities of the Lord as follows. 1. Beautiful features of the entire body. 2. Marked with all auspicious characteristics. 3. Extremely pleasing. 4. Effulgent. 5. Strong. 6. Ever youthful. 7. Wonderful linguist. 8. Truthful. 9. Talks pleasingly. 10. Fluent. 11. Highly learned. 12. Highly intelligent. 13. A genius. 14. Artistic. 15. Extremely clever. 16. Expert. 17. Grateful. 18. Firmly determined. 19. An expert judge of time and circumstances. 20. Sees and speaks on the authority of the Vedas or scriptures. 21. Pure. 22. Self-controlled. 23. Steadfast. 24. Forbearing. 25. Forgiving. 26. Grave. 27. Self-satisfied. 28. Possessing equilibrium. 29. Magnanimous. 30. Religious. 31. Heroic. 32. Compassionate. 33. Respectful. 34. Gentle. 35. Liberal. 36. Shy. 37. The protector of surrendered souls. 38. Happy. 39. The well-wisher of devotees. 40. Controlled by love. 41. All auspicious. 42. Most powerful. 43. All famous. 44. Popular. 45. Partial to devotees. 46. Very attractive to all women. 47. All worshipable. 48. All opulent. 49. All honorable. 50. The Supreme Controller. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has all these 50 transcendental qualities in fullness as deep as the ocean. In other words, the extent of his qualities is inconceivable. As parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, the individual living entities can also possess all of these qualities in minute quantities, provided they become pure devotees of the Lord. In other words, all of the above transcendental qualities can be present in the devotees in minute quantity, whereas the qualities in fullness are always present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Besides these, there are other transcendental qualities which are described by Lord Shiva to Parvati in the Padma Purana and in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in connection with a conversation between the deity of the earth and the king of religion, Yamaraj. It is said therein, quote, "Persons who are desirous of becoming great personalities must be decorated with the following qualities: truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, perseverance, renunciation, peacefulness, simplicity, control of the senses, equilibrium of the mind, austerity, equality, forbearance, placidity, learning, knowledge, detachment, opulence, chivalry, influence, strength, memory, independence, tactfulness, luster, patience, kind-heartedness, ingenuity, gentility, mannerliness, determination, perfection in all knowledge, proper execution, possession of all objects of enjoyment, gravity, steadiness, faithfulness, fame, respectfulness, and lack of false egotism." Unquote. Persons who are desiring to become great souls cannot be without any of the above qualities, so we can know for certain that these qualities are found in Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul. Besides all of the above mentioned 50 qualities, Lord Krishna possesses 5 more, which are sometimes partially manifested in the persons of Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. These transcendental qualities are as follows. 51. Changeless. 52. All cognizant. 53. Ever fresh. 54. Satchidananda. Possessing an eternal, blissful body. 55. Possessing all mystic perfections. Krishna also possesses 5 other qualities which are manifest in the body of Narayan, and they are listed as follows. 56. He has inconceivable potency. 57. Uncountable universes generate from his body. 58. He is the original source of all incarnations. 59. He is the giver of salvation to the enemies whom he kills. 60. He is the attractor of liberated souls. All these transcendental qualities are manifest wonderfully in the personal feature of Lord Krishna. Besides these 60 transcendental qualities, Krishna has 4 more, which are not manifest even in the Narayan form of Godhead, what to speak of the demigods or living entities. They are as follows. 61. He is the performer of wonderful varieties of pastimes, especially his childhood pastimes. 62. He is surrounded by devotees endowed with wonderful love of Godhead. 63. He can attract all living entities all over the universes by playing on his flute. 64. He has a wonderful excellence of beauty, which cannot be rivaled anywhere in the creation. Adding to the list these 4 exceptional qualities of Krishna, it is to be understood that the aggregate number of qualities of Krishna is 64. Srila Rupa Goswami has attempted to give evidences from various scriptures about all 64 qualities present in the person of the Supreme Lord. One, beautiful bodily features. Any comparison of the different parts of the Lord's body to different material objects cannot factually be a complete comparison. Ordinary persons who cannot understand how exalted are the bodily features of the Lord are simply given a chance to understand by a material comparison. It is said that Krishna's face is as beautiful as the moon. His thighs are powerful just like the trunks of elephants. His arms are just like 2 pillars. His palms are expanded like lotus flowers. His chest is just like a doorway. His hips are dens. And the middle of his body is a terrace. 2. Auspicious characteristics. There are certain characteristics of different limbs which are considered to be very auspicious and are fully present in the body of the Lord. In this connection, one friend of Nanda Maharaj, speaking about Lord Krishna's auspicious bodily symptoms, said, quote, "My dear king of the cowherds, I can find 32 auspicious symptoms on the body of your son. I am wondering how this boy could have taken his birth in a family of cowherd men. Unquote. Generally, when Lord Krishna appears, he does so in a family of kshatriyas or kings, as did Lord Ramchandra, and sometimes in a family of Brahmins. But Krishna accepted the role of son to Maharaj Nanda, despite the fact that Nanda belonged to the Vaishya community. The business of the Vaishya community is trade, commerce, and the protection of cows. Therefore, his friend, who may have been born into a Brahmin family, expressed his wonder at how such an exalted child could take birth in a family of Vaishyas. Anyway, he pointed out the auspicious signs on the body of Krishna to the boy's foster father. He continued, quote, "This boy has a reddish luster in seven places: his eyes, the ends of his hands, the ends of his legs, his palate, his lips, his tongue, and his nails." A reddish luster in these seven places is considered to be auspicious. Three parts of his body are very broad: his waist, forehead, and chest. Three parts of his body are short: his neck, thighs, and genitals. Three parts of his body are very deep: his voice, intelligence, and navel. There is a highness in five parts of his body: his nose, arms, ears, forehead, and thighs. In five parts of his body there is fineness: his skin, the hairs on his head and on the other parts of his body, his teeth, and his fingertips. The aggregate of all these bodily features is manifest only in the bodies of great personalities. The fate lines on the palm are also considered to be auspicious bodily symptoms. In this connection, one old gopi informed King Nanda, quote, "Your son possesses various wonderful fate lines on his palms. There are the signs of lotus flowers and wheels on his palms, and on his soles there are the signs of a flag, a thunderbolt, a fish, a rod for controlling elephants, and a lotus flower. Please observe how auspicious these signs are." Unquote. Pleasing. Beautiful bodily features, which automatically attract the eyes, are called ruchira, or pleasing. Krishna possesses this attractive feature of ruchira in his personal features. In the third canto, second chapter, verse 13 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement about this, quote, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his pleasing dress, appeared at the scene of the sacrificial arena when King Yudhishthir was performing the Raja Surya sacrifice. All important personalities from different parts of the universe had been invited to the sacrificial arena, and all of them, upon beholding Krishna there, considered that the Creator had ended all of his craftsmanship in the creation of this particular body of Krishna." Unquote. It is said that the transcendental body of Krishna resembles the lotus flower in eight parts, namely his face, his two eyes, his two hands, his navel, and his two feet. The gopis and inhabitants of Vrindavan used to see the luster of lotus flowers everywhere, and they could hardly withdraw their eyes from such a vision. 4. Effulgent. The effulgence pervading the universe is considered to be the rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The supreme abode of Krishna is always throwing off the effulgence known as Brahma Jyoti, and that effulgence is emanating from his body. The luster of the hosts of jewels fixed on the chest of the Lord can defeat even the luster of the sun, And still, when compared with the bodily luster of the Lord, that crest of jewels appears to be only as bright as one of the stars in the sky. Therefore, the transcendental influence of Krishna is so great that it can defeat anyone. When Krishna was present in the sacrificial arena of his enemy, King Kamsa, the wrestlers present, although appreciating the softness of the body of Sri Krishna, were afraid and perturbed when they thought of engaging with him in battle. 5. Strong. A person who has extraordinary bodily strength is called Balyan. When Krishna killed Aristasura, some of the gopis said, quote, "My dear friends, just see how Krishna has killed Aristasura. Although he was stronger than a mountain, Krishna plucked him up just like a piece of cotton and threw him away without any difficulty." Unquote. There is another passage wherein it is said, quote, "O my dear devotees of Lord Krishna, may the left hand of Lord Krishna, which has lifted Govardhan Hill like a ball, save you from all dangers." Unquote. Six, ever youthful. Krishna is beautiful at his different ages, namely his childhood, his boyhood, and his youth. Out of these three, his youth is the reservoir of all pleasures and is the time when the highest varieties of devotional service are acceptable. At that age, Krishna is full with all transcendental qualities and is engaged in his transcendental pastimes. Therefore, devotees have accepted the beginning of his youth as the most attractive feature in ecstatic love. At this age, Krishna is described as follows. Quote, "The force of Krishna's youth was combined with his beautiful smile, which defeated even the beauty of the full moon. He was always nicely dressed, in beauty surpassing even Cupid, and he was always attracting the minds of the gopis, who were thereby always feeling pleasure." Unquote. 7. Wonderful linguist. Rupa Goswami says that a person who knows the languages of different countries, especially the Sanskrit language, which is spoken in the cities of the demigods, as well as other worldly languages, including those of the animals, is called a wonderful linguist. It appears from this statement that Krishna can also speak and understand the languages of the animals. An old woman in Vrindavan, present at the time of Krishna's pastimes, once stated in surprise, quote, "How wonderful it is that Krishna, who owns the hearts of all the young girls of Vrajabhumi, can nicely speak the language of Vrajabhumi with the gopis, while in Sanskrit he speaks with the demigods, and in the language of the animals he can even speak with the cows and the buffalo." Similarly, in the language of the Kashmir province, and with the parrots and other birds, as well as in most common languages, Krishna is so expressive. Unquote. She inquired from the gopis as to how Krishna had become so expert in speaking so many different types of languages. 8. Truthful. A person whose word of honor is never broken is called truthful. Krishna once promised Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, that he would bring her 5 sons back from the battlefield of Kurukshetra. After the battle was finished, when all the Pandavas had come home, Kunti praised Krishna because his promise was so nicely fulfilled. She said, quote, "Even the sunshine may one day become cool, and the moonshine one day become hot, but still your promise will not fail." Unquote. Similarly, when Krishna, along with Bhima and Arjuna, went to challenge Jarasandha, he plainly told Jarasandha that he was the eternal Krishna, present along with two of the Pandavas. The story is that both Krishna and the Pandavas, in this case Bhima and Arjuna, were Kshatriyas or warrior kings. Jarasandha was also a Kshatriya and was very charitable toward the Brahmins. Thus Krishna, who had planned to fight with Jarasandha, went to him with Bhima and Arjuna in the dress of Brahmins. Jarasandha, being very charitable toward the Brahmins, asked them what they wanted, and they expressed their desire to fight with him. Then Krishna, dressed as a Brahmin, declared himself to be the same Krishna who is the king's eternal enemy. 9. Pleasing talker. A person who can speak sweetly, even with his enemy, just to pacify him is called a pleasing talker. Krishna was such a pleasing talker that after defeating his enemy Kaliya in the water of the Yamuna, he said, quote, "My dear king of the snakes, although I have given you so much pain, please do not be dissatisfied with me. It is my duty to protect these cows, which are worshipped even by the demigods. Only in order to save them from the danger of your presence have I been obliged to banish you from this place." Unquote. Kaliya was residing within the water of the Yamuna, and as a result, the back portion of that river had become poisoned. Thus, so many cows who had drunk the water had died. Therefore, Krishna, even though he was only 4 or 5 years old, dipped himself into the water, punished Kaliya very severely, and then asked him to leave the place and go elsewhere. Krishna said at that time that the cows are worshipped even by the demigods, and he practically demonstrated how to protect the cows. At least people who are in Krishna consciousness should follow in his footsteps and give all protection to the cows. Cows are worshipped not only by the demigods. Krishna himself worshipped the cows on several occasions, especially on the days of Gopashtami and Govardhan Puja. 10. Fluent. A person who can speak meaningful words and with all politeness and good qualities is called Vavadukka or fluent. There is a nice statement in Srimad Bhagavatam regarding Krishna speaking politely. When Krishna politely bade his father, Nanda Maharaj, to stop the ritualistic offering of sacrifice to the rain god, Indra, a wife of one village cowherd man became captivated. She later thus described the speaking of Krishna to her friends, quote, "Krishna was speaking to his father so politely and gently that it was as if he were pouring nectar into the ears of all present there. After hearing such sweet words from Krishna, who will not be attracted to him?" Unquote. Krishna's speech, which contains all good qualities in the universe, is described in the following statement by Uddhava, quote, "The words of Krishna are so attractive that they can immediately change the heart of even his opponent. His words can immediately solve all of the questions and problems of the world. Although he does not speak very long, each and every word from his mouth contains volumes of meaning. These speeches of Krishna are very pleasing to my heart." Unquote. 11. Highly learned. When a person is highly educated and acts strictly on moral principles, he is called highly learned. A person conversant in different departments of knowledge is called educated, and because he acts on moral principles, he is called morally stout. Together, these two factors constitute learning. Krishna's receiving education from Sandipani Muni is described by Sri Narad Muni as follows, quote, In the beginning, Lord Brahma and others are like clouds of evaporated water from the great ocean of Krishna. In other words, Brahma first received the Vedic education from Krishna, as the clouds receive water from the ocean. That Vedic education or instruction which was spoken by Brahma to the world was then reposed upon the mountain of Sandipani Muni. Sandipani Muni's instructions to Krishna are like a reservoir of water on the mountain, which flows as a river and goes again to mix with the source, the ocean of Krishna. Unquote. To be more clear, the idea is that Krishna actually cannot be instructed by anyone, just as the ocean does not receive water from any source but itself. It only appears that the rivers are pouring water into the ocean. So it is clear that Brahma received his education from Krishna, and from Brahma, via the disciplic succession, this Vedic instruction was distributed. Sandipani Muni is likened to the river which is flowing down again to that same original ocean of Krishna. The Siddhas, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, where all are born with fully developed mystic powers, and the Charanas, the inhabitants of a similar planet, pray to Krishna as follows. Quote, "My Lord Govinda, the goddess of learning is decorated with 14 kinds of educational ornaments. Her intelligence is all-pervading within the four departments of the Vedas. Her attention is always on the law books given by great sages like Manu, and she is apparelled in 6 kinds of expert knowledge, namely Vedic evidence, grammar, astrology, rhetoric, vocabulary, and logic. Her constant friends are the supplements of the Vedas, the Puranas, and she is decorated with the final conclusion of all education. And now she has acquired an opportunity to sit with you as a class friend in school, and she is now engaged in your service." Unquote. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, does not require any education, but he gives a chance to the goddess of learning to serve him. Being self-sufficient, Krishna does not require the service of any living entity, although he has many devotees. It is because Krishna is so kind and merciful that he gives everyone the opportunity to serve him, as though he required the service of his devotees. Regarding his moral principles, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is ruling over Vrindavan as death personified to the thieves, as pleasing bliss to the pious, as the most beautiful Cupid to the young girls, and as the most munificent personality to the poor men. He is as refreshing as the full moon to his friends, and to his opponents, he is the annihilating fire generated from Lord Shiva. Krishna is therefore the most perfect moralist in his reciprocal dealings with different kinds of persons. When he is death personified to the thieves, it is not that he is without moral principles or that he is cruel. He is still kind, because to punish thieves with death is to exhibit the highest quality of moral principles. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that he deals with different kinds of persons according to their dealings with him. Krishna's dealings with devotees and with non-devotees, although different, are equally good. Because Krishna is all good, his dealings with everyone are always good. Highly intelligent. A man is called intelligent if he has a sharp memory and fine discretion. As far as Krishna's memory is concerned, it is said that when he was studying in the school of Sandipani Muni in Avantipura, he showed such a sharp memory that by once taking instructions from the teacher, he immediately became perfect in any subject. Actually, his going to the school of Sandipani Muni was to show the people of the world that, however great or ingenious one may be, he must go to higher authorities for general education. However great one may be, he must accept a teacher or spiritual master. Krishna's fine discretion was exhibited when he was fighting with the untouchable king who attacked the city of Mathura. According to Vedic rites, those who are untouchable are not to be touched by the Kshatriya kings, not even for killing. Therefore, when the untouchable king seized the city of Mathura, Krishna did not think it wise to kill him directly with his own hand. Still, the king had to be killed, and therefore Krishna decided with fine discretion that he should flee from the battlefield so that the untouchable king would chase him. He could then lead the king to the mountain where Muchukunda was lying asleep. Muchukunda had received a benediction from Kartikeya to the effect that when he awoke from his sleep, whomever he might see would at once be burnt to ashes. Therefore, Krishna thought it wise to lead the untouchable king to that cave so that the king's presence would awaken Muchukunda and he would at once be burnt to ashes. Genius. A person is called a genius when he can refute any kind of opposing element with newer and newer arguments. In this connection, there is a statement in Padyavali which contains the following conversation between Krishna and Radha. One morning when Krishna came to Radha, Radha asked him, quote, "My dear Keshava, where is your vasa at present?" Unquote. The Sanskrit word vasa has three meanings. One meaning is residence, one meaning is fragrance, and another meaning is dress. Actually, Radharani inquired from Krishna, "Where is your dress?" But Krishna took the meaning as residence, and he replied to Radharani, "My dear captivated one, at the present moment, my residence is in your beautiful eyes." To this, Radharani replied, "My dear cunning boy, I did not ask you about your residence. I inquired about your dress." Krishna then took the meaning of vasa as fragrance and said, "My dear fortunate one, I have just assumed this fragrance in order to be associated with your body." Srimati Radharani again inquired from Krishna, "Where did you pass your night?" The exact Sanskrit word used in this connection was yamanyamushita. Yamanyam means at night, and ushita means pass. Krishna, however, divided the word yamanyamushita into two separate words, namely yamanya and mushita. By dividing this word into two, it came out to mean that he was kidnapped by yamini, or night. Krishna therefore replied to Radharani, "My dear Radharani, is it possible that night can kidnap me?" In this way, he was answering all of the questions of Radharani so cunningly that he gladdened this dearest of the gopis. 14. Artistic. One who can talk and dress himself very artistically is called Vidagdha. This exemplary characteristic was visible in the personality of Sri Krishna. It is spoken of by Radharani as follows, quote, "My dear friend, just see how Krishna has nicely composed songs and how he dances and speaks funny words and plays on his flute, wearing such nice garlands. He has dressed himself in such an enchanting way as though he had defeated all kinds of players at the chessboard. He lives wonderfully at the topmost height of artistic craftsmanship." Unquote. clever. A person who can perform various types of work at once is called clever. In this connection, one of the gopis said, quote, "My dear friends, just see the clever activities of Sri Krishna. He has composed nice songs about the cowherd boys and is pleasing the cows. By the movement of his eyes, he is pleasing the gopis, and at the same time, he is fighting with demons like Arishtasura. In this way, he is sitting with different living entities in different ways, and he is thoroughly enjoying the situation." Unquote. 16. Expert. Any person who can quickly execute a very difficult task is called expert. About the expertise of Krishna, there is a statement in the 10th canto, 59th chapter, verse 17 of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Shukdev Goswami tells Maharaj Pariksit, quote, "O best of the Kurus, Sri Krishna cut to pieces all the different weapons used by different fighters." Unquote. Formerly, fighting was done by releasing different kinds of arrows. One party would release a certain arrow, and the other party had to defeat it by counteracting it with another arrow. For example, one party might release an arrow which would cause water to pour from the sky. And to counteract this, the opposing party would have to release an arrow which could immediately turn the water into clouds. So from this statement, it appears that Krishna was very expert in counteracting the enemy's arrows. Similarly, at the Ras dance, each and every gopi requested that Krishna individually become her partner. And Krishna immediately expanded himself into so many Krishnas in order to be coupled with each and every gopi. The result was that each gopi found Krishna by her side. Grateful. Any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent activities and never forgets his service is called grateful. In the Mahabharata, Krishna says, quote, "When I was away from Draupadi, she cried with the words, 'Hey Govinda, this call for me has put me in her debt, and that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart.'" Unquote. This statement by Krishna gives evidence of how one can please the Supreme Lord simply by addressing him, "Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda." The Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is also simply an address to the Lord and His energy. So to anyone who is constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and His energy, we can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. It is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. It is clearly stated in this verse that anyone who addresses the Lord immediately attracts the attention of the Lord, who always remains obliged to him. Another instance of Krishna's feeling of obligation is stated in connection with his dealings with Jambavan. When the Lord was present as Lord Ramchandra, Jambavan, the great king of the monkeys, rendered very faithful service to him. When the Lord again appeared as Lord Krishna, he married Jambavan's daughter and paid him all the respect that is usually given to superiors. Any honest person is obliged to his friend if some service has been rendered unto him. Since Krishna is the supreme honest personality, how can he forget an obligation to his servitor? 18. Determined. Any person who observes regulative principles and fulfills his promises by practical activity is called determined. As far as the Lord's determination is concerned, there is an example in his dealings in the Hari Vamsha. This is in connection with Lord Krishna's fighting the king of heaven, Indra, who was forcibly deprived of the Parijata flower. Parijata is a kind of lotus flower grown on the heavenly planets. Once, Satyabhama, one of Krishna's queens, wanted that lotus flower, and Krishna promised to deliver it. But Indra refused to part with his Parijata flower. Therefore, there was a great fight with Krishna and the Pandavas on one side and all of the demigods on the other. Ultimately, Krishna defeated all of them and took the Parijata flower, which he presented to his queen. So in regard to that occurrence, Krishna told Narad Muni, quote, "My dear great sage of the demigods, now you can declare to the devotees in general and to the non-devotees in particular that in this matter of taking the Parijata flower, all the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Nagas, the demon Rakshasas, the Yakshas, the Panagas, tried to defeat me, but none could make me break my promise to my queen." Unquote. There is another promise by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita to the effect that his devotee will never be vanquished. So a sincere devotee who is always engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord should know for certain that Krishna will never break his promise. He will always protect his devotees in every circumstance. Krishna showed how he fulfills his promise by delivering the Parijata flower to Satyabhama, by saving Draupadi from being insulted, and by freeing Arjuna from the attacks of all enemies. The promise of Krishna that his devotees are never vanquished had also previously been admitted by Indra when he was defeated in the Govardhan Leela. When Krishna stopped the villagers of Raja or Vrindavan from worshipping Indra, Indra became angry and therefore inundated Vrindavan with continuous rain. Krishna, however, protected all of the citizens and animals of Vrindavan by lifting Govardhan Hill, which served as an umbrella. When the incident was over, Indra surrendered to Krishna with many prayers in which he admitted, quote, "By your lifting Govardhan Hill and protecting the citizens of Vrindavan, you have kept your promise that your devotees are never to be vanquished." Unquote.
Mm-hmm.